senior Iranian commander says the United States' humiliating exit from the region is the price it's paying for the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani. Yemeni army says it managed to liberate some 12,000 square kilometers of land in its offensive against Saudi-backed mercenaries in 2021. And the Palestinian government says Israel approved the construction of 12,000 new settler units and razed 177 Palestinian homes in the occupied Al-Quds last year. I'm Marzia Hashmi. Thanks so much for being with us. First story takes us right here to Iran this hour, where Islamic Revolution Guard Corps says a humiliating withdrawal from the region will be the price the U.S. will have to pay for assassinating Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. IRGC spokesman Ramazan Sharif says it's now time for the U.S. to pull its troops out of other regional countries following its disgraceful pullout from Afghanistan. He pointed to recent remarks by former Afghan President Ashraf Ghani about how Americans betrayed him and urged Arab leaders in the region to avoid a similar fate by not relying on the U.S. He said General Soleimani had promised long ago to fully defeat Daesh terrorists as well as Washington's cronies in the region, a promise that materialized later on. The U.S. assassinated General Soleimani in Iraq 2 years ago. The commander was at the forefront of the war on terror in the region. Well, Iran and several other countries are marking the second anniversary of the U.S. assassination of legendary anti-terror commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Iran's leader, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has described General Soleimani as a role model and a hero for the younger generation, not only in Iran, but around the world.
Iran begins marking the second anniversary of the U.S. assassination of the legendary anti-terror commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. In a meeting with General Soleimani's family in Tehran, leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, said General Soleimani has turned into a role model and a hero for the younger generation. Meanwhile, tens of thousands have taken part in ceremonies to pay tribute to the highly charismatic commander.
Soleimani was commander who did not allow the terrorists to approach our borders. He defeated Daesh in Iraq and Syria, so the entire region always owes him a big thank.
American politicians thought that by killing General Soleimani, they would be able to let the terrorists win, but we are all going to preserve his legacy.
Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said the enemies were under the delusion that with the martyrdom of General Soleimani, quote, they would be done with their job. However, the U.S. fled Afghanistan as a result of the sacrifices made by Soleimani.
Afghan youth learned many lessons from him. Today, all the freedom-seeking people in the world regard him as a role model.
All Afghan people should follow his path, and he is in our hearts. We all look at him as someone who defeated arrogant powers.
Ayatollah Khamenei also said Washington is inevitably pulling out of Iraq and only has an advisory role there, without any military presence. Iran's leader warned Iraqi officials to be vigilant about the issue. On Saturday, Iraqis held rallies on the streets of the capital, Baghdad, to honor top Iranian General Qasem Soleimani and senior Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, both assassinated by the U.S. 2 years ago. Demonstrators called for the withdrawal of American forces from the country. Ayatollah Khamenei added the resistance front in Yemen is making gains, while the enemy has been brought to its knees in Syria. The leader, on Saturday, touched on the participation of tens of millions of people in Iraq, Iran, and other countries in the funeral and the processions held for General Soleimani after his assassination. General Soleimani is hailed as a hero of the fight against terrorism by people across the globe. The Islamic movement in Nigeria described General Soleimani as a hero of coordination between Christian and Muslim religions. leading victory over Daesh in Iraq and Syria. Also, Bolivia ex-president Evo Morales described General Soleimani as a hero in the fight against imperialism. The top Iranian anti-terror commander's assassination also exposed the U.S.'s support for terrorist groups and Washington's lies of countering terrorism.
Well, the U.S.'s assassination of General Soleimani amounted to a targeted killing in another country, an act that is illegal under international law. The government of Iraq, as the country where the assassination took place, denounced the move. Even U.S. Congress did not approve the strike. Donald Trump, the then president, could not prove that Soleimani had been an imminent threat, making the move illegal and condemned worldwide.
Iran has called on the United Nations to adopt a resolution condemning those behind the assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. The Iranian president's office has made the call in a letter to the president of the UN General Assembly, saying the impunity granted to the perpetrators of the drone strike poses a threat to international peace and security. It stresses that attacks on government and diplomatic officials are crimes against humanity and violate the UN Charter and international law on human rights. It warns that inaction on state terrorism can lead to devastating consequences for the international community.
That type of extra-legal activity really was emphasized and came forward in a way that it had never seen before. Basically, to assassinate people in the middle of essentially a diplomatic mission in another country. And they're simply not possible to continue like that. And the response, of course, in Iraq was fury and the demand that the United States get out. So clearly, it's the wrong way to go from a whole variety of reasons, but especially a moral reason.
Iran's top general, Qasem Soleimani, was assassinated along with his companions, including Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes, in a U.S. terrorist drone strike near the Baghdad International Airport on January 3, 2020. But the U.S. was not alone in committing this heinous crime. Israel provided Washington with the key intelligence support, including tracking General Soleimani's cell phone. General Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes were two iconic figures in the fight against the Daesh terrorist group that emerged amid the mayhem resulting from the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003. Both commanders were admired by Muslim nations for eliminating the U.S.-sponsored Daesh Takfiri terrorist group in the region, particularly in Iraq and Syria. Days after the brazen act, the Islamic Revolution Guard Corps launched a volley of missiles at two major military bases housing American forces in Iraq. Iran denounced the assassination as a state terrorism and vowed to end the American presence in the region as the ultimate act of revenge. The U.S. assassination drew a wave of condemnation from officials and movements through the world and triggered huge public protests across the region.
Well, the Yemeni army hours ago held a presser detailing achievements against Saudi-backed mercenaries in 2021. Spokesman Yahya Saadi says the army last year liberated approximately 12,000 square kilometers of land. Saadi also says the army inflicted heavy losses on Saudi-backed mercenaries during ground and air operations, killing thousands of them. He added that scores of Saudi and Emirati troops, including top officers, were also killed during the Yemeni military operations last year. Well, the spokesman says the army will continue its operations to fully liberate Yemen from its enemies. Saudi Arabia and its Arab allies, as well as their mercenaries in Yemen, have been fighting the army there for more than 7 years now. Earlier, we were joined by political commentator Hossein al-Bakhati with his take on the Yemeni army's achievements against Saudi-backed mercenaries. He says the gains show that the Yemeni people have the upper hand in their fight to liberate their country.
And this is exactly proof that all the numbers that Yahya Sarih have released today, thousands of ballistic missiles attack and drone attack against Saudi-backed forces or Saudi forces inside Yemen and as well inside Saudi Arabia. This is actually really clear that Yemeni army now has the upper hand. Of course, we have seen Saudi held, conference and releasing some numbers, but it's not clear how come that the Saudi, even though they claim that they have targeted all military installation, that they are defeating what they call the Houthi or Ansarullah or Yemeni army, but on the other hand, we see them that they are losing ground, and I believe that if Yemeni army will continue its attack, especially ballistic attack and drone attack against Saudi Arabia, I think that Yemeni will liberate more land in this year, and I believe that this year the war could end because Saudi has come to a point that they actually could not stop Yemeni army from advancing on the ground. They could not stop them from attacking through the sea, and as well they could not stop Yemeni ballistic missile unit and as well drone unit to attack attacking Saudi Arabia.
And welcome to News Review. New figures show how fast Israel has been advancing its expansionist policy in the occupied Palestinian territories over the past year. The Palestinian government says the regime approved the construction of 12,000 new settler units in the occupied Al-Quds area alone last year. The data show that Israel also razed 177 Palestinian homes and issued orders for the demolition of another 200 over the past year. The Israeli military frequently demolishes Palestinian homes as part of a campaign to expand settlements. Palestinians say Israel is seeking to change the Arab identity of the occupied territories, and they've called for international action to halt those violations. All Israeli settlements are illegal under international law. I'd like to welcome my guests to this news review. Out of Ramallah, Mona Kandil, and out of Amman, Dawood Khattab, award-winning Palestinian journalist. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start off with Mona. And Mona, I mean, these are unbelievable statistics that we're getting. It seems every day we're getting unbelievable statistics of what the Israeli regime did to Palestinians last year. And now we're talking about the number of homes that were demolished and also razed. Tell me what you have on this.
Yes, Mercy. Unfortunately, this is what's going on ground. At the time, Israeli forces destroy Palestinian homes and structures in the holy city of Al-Quds. It's in the same time approving more settler units across the holy city. Of course, the Israeli regime continues from, on the one hand, destroying Palestinian homes, and on the other hand, giving a green light for the settlers to expand their settlements and to build a new settler units in order to force more Palestinians leave the holy city of Al-Quds, making their life and living conditions in the holy city intolerable. We are speaking about 12,000 settler units in Al-Quds alone. This means more lands would be confiscated from the Palestinians, more Palestinian neighborhoods would be emptied from their real owners in order to annex it to the illegal settlements and in order to allow the settlers build new homes. This means more aggression, more violence by the settlers against the Palestinians, and of course protected by the Israeli officers.
Dawood, what do you see as the main cause behind this increase, unbelievable increase in what the Israeli regime is doing? 12,000 new settler units just in Al-Quds alone is a lot of units. And we see that the Israeli Prime Minister continues to talk about even more expansion. Why are we seeing it increase exponentially right now, in your perspective?
Well, what we're seeing now is the absence of any political process. There is no political horizon.
The Israeli Prime Minister is now repeating three no's, no to talks, no to meeting with the Palestinian officials, and no to the two-state solution. So without a peace process, the only thing that is remaining is the situation on the ground. And on the ground you have settlers who are very well equipped and heavily armed, supported by the Israeli army, and are trying to expand, as you said, their settlements and their settler presence against an unarmed Palestinian population, which is basically standing up with their bare chest to the Israelis and resisting the Israeli expansion. So you have this clash, and what we need now is some kind of an international force to separate between both sides.
Mona, can you explain, perhaps for some of them it's hard to imagine exactly what it means when we talk about these settlers being armed and being protected? What exactly does that mean when they come face to face with a Palestinian? Explain that side of things, what we're talking about exactly.
Well, now we have settler organizations who try to track Palestinian homes and lands, who their real owners are not alive, or even they rented it to other Palestinians. So they come and buy or try to bring some false documents in order to tell the Israeli regime that these homes are absentee property. Then the settlers, of course we are speaking about armed settlers, they come and break into these homes, attack Palestinians who are, of course, living in Al-Quds. Of course, they are not armed. The whole Al-Quds is occupied by the Israeli regime. They attack the Palestinians, and sometimes they claim that they were protecting themselves because the children threw stones and rocks on their homes there. The Israeli forces would be immediately interfering, protecting the settlers, attacking the Palestinians, and arresting them, and sometimes use fire against those Palestinians, wounding and killing others. And this has happened on the ground.
Okay. Well, Dawood, you said perhaps some international forces or something can help. Tell me what you're envisioning. Where do you see what needs to be done in order to stop this aggression and oppression?
Across the world, whenever there is any conflict, whenever there are two parties that are at loggerheads, the international community says, wait, let's try to find a way to stop the violence. And they bring in international forces, blue-helmeted UN forces, to basically separate both parties. In our conflict, in the Palestinian conflict, the only person, the only party that can do this right now is the Israeli army. But the Israeli army is taking a side of the settlers, and Israeli human rights organizations said that the Israeli army supports the Jewish settlers. So instead of the army separating the settlers from Palestinian resistors, they're actually taking sides and supporting the settlement movement. And so in order to stop this violence, which is happening every day, and in a situation where we don't see a horizon, a political horizon, and you could say, you know, in 6 months, in a year, there will be some kind of a settlement and there will be a resolution to the conflict. There is no horizon, and so we need to bring in an international, multinational force, a UN force, a NATO force, and an Arab League, or Islamic organization, forces from different countries that can actually act as a buffer between the settlers and the Palestinian resistors.
Okay, and on that note, I'd like to thank both of you for being with us on this news review out of Ramallah, Mona Kandyub, and out of Amman, award-winning Palestinian journalist Dawood Khattab. And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
In Britain, doctors say some NHS workers can't work due to shortage of tests, as UK Health Secretary Sajid Javid admits supply is constrained. We now present you an article written jointly by Heather Stewart and Richard Adams. The piece is titled "Javid Urged to Prioritise COVID Tests for NHS Workers or Risk Patient Harm in UK." Britain's Health Secretary Sajid Javid is being urged to ensure NHS workers are prioritised for COVID tests or risk a devastating impact on patient care, after conceding to MPs that the supply of lateral flow kits would have to be constrained over the next fortnight in light of rocketing demand. The British Medical Association, the BMA, which represents doctors, warned that the system for ensuring NHS staff received tests was not working. It said its members were reporting problems with obtaining PCR and lateral flow tests, despite healthcare workers supposedly being given priority for both. The British Medical Association's Chair of Council, Dr. Chand Nagpal, said, "Being unable to get the tests means staff may not be legally allowed to work, and at a time of acute workforce shortages and winter pressures, this could be devastating for the care that can be given right across the National Health Service." Demand for tests has been surging in recent days, with new infections increasing rapidly and ministers, including the Prime Minister Boris Johnson, advising the public to test themselves before attending New Year Eve parties or meeting vulnerable relatives. Another factor boosting demand is that the self-isolation period in England was recently cut from 10 days to 7 days, but only with 2 negative lateral flow tests. Official figures showed that 189,213 new cases were reported in the United Kingdom in the 24 hours to 9 a.m. local time on Thursday, 30th of December, and 332 people died within 28 days of a positive COVID test, although this included hospital death figures from England since 24th of December. NHS statistics showed that 11,452 people in England were in hospital with COVID-19 as of the morning of 30th of December, up 61% in a week, and the highest number since 26th of February. Health Secretary Sajid Javid has acknowledged in a letter to MPs that the supply of lateral flow tests may have to be constrained over the next fortnight. He wrote on Wednesday night, 29th of December, "In light of the huge demand for lateral flow tests or lateral flow devices, seen over the last 3 weeks, we expect a need to constrain the system at certain points over the next 2 weeks to manage supply over the course of each day, with the new tranches of supply released regularly throughout each day. The Shadow Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, has written to Sajid Javid calling on him to make sure healthcare workers are given priority for testing. He wrote, "I urge you to put the key workers we have relied upon for the past 2 years to the front of the queue and do everything you can to prevent a staffing shortage crisis within our National Health Service. The government must get a grip on this crisis, bring these shortages to an end, and ensure everyone can access tests quickly and regularly." A Department of Health and Social Care spokesperson rejected the idea that healthcare workers had been unable to obtain tests, claiming they had their own dedicated supply channel. Azim Majid, a professor of primary care and public health at Imperial College London, said the government was in part to blame for the shortages of tests because of its advice to the public to test themselves before social events and outings. He said in an article in The Guardian, "It has become very clear that there are nowhere near enough lateral flow tests for COVID-19 in England to allow the government's policy of their indiscriminate use." He called for the publication of daily data on how many tests are available, and then clear guidance from the government on what groups should be prioritised for testing and how frequently they should test. Meanwhile, the Welsh Government announced on Thursday, 30th of December, that it had lent an additional 4 million lateral flow testing kits to England to help alleviate the supply squeeze across the border, bringing the total offered to 10 million. The National Education Union, NEU, has called for teachers to be among the groups given priority, amid concerns about whether sufficient tests will be available as the new term starts in the coming days. Mary Boosted, the Joint General Secretary of the National Education Union, said, "If schools are the top priority, as Boris Johnson has said they are, there is a case for teachers being given a priority, being made a priority group, so that they can test themselves, so they can be in school educating pupils. With all secondary pupils expected to be tested before they start the spring term, the Liberal Democrats have urged the Education Secretary, Nazem Zahawi, to ensure every school has enough tests in place." The Liberal Democrats' education spokesperson, Monira Wilson, said, "Nazem Zahawi must provide a cast-iron guarantee that every child and teacher who needs a COVID test will be able to access one on the first day of term to avoid yet more disruption to schools in the coming days. We cannot afford a repeat of last year's fiasco when pupils returned for one day before being sent home again." A Department for Education spokesperson claimed the government had delivered 28 million test kits to schools in the final 2 weeks of last term. The spokesperson said, "Schools and colleges use a different priority supply route to get their lateral flow tests. Most test kits have already been received for the start of the new term, and we have emergency arrangements in place to make sure every school has a testing kit that it needs." One South London headteacher, Ben Roberts of Heathbrook Primary School in Lambeth, said his school had ordered tests from the Department for Education 2 weeks before the end of term and was yet to receive them. He said he had been touring local pharmacies trying to obtain test kits. He added, "We were expecting staff to go in for an inset day on Tuesday, 28th of December. if staff haven't had a test prior to that, all we're doing is super spreading again. So I, for the last few days, have been trying every which way to get hold of any more. The Pharmaceutical Services Negotiating Committee, or PSNC, which represents National Health Service community pharmacies in England, said some pharmacy staff were being verbally abused when stocks of lateral flow tests ran out. Alistair Buxton, the Pharmaceutical Services Negotiating Committee's Director of National Health Services, said, "The public demand for test kits remains exceptionally high, and despite UK HSA delivering some 2 million tests to pharmacy wholesalers on some days, this is still falling short of demand. Members of the public, being directed to pharmacies for tests, are rightly frustrated when they cannot get them. But it's concerning that some pharmacy teams say they are still being verbally abused when this happens." A government spokesperson claimed, "The National Health Service has additional stock of lateral flow tests, and those who live or work in vulnerable settings have access to dedicated testing order routes. If at some point it is necessary to do so, we will always prioritise protecting the most vulnerable as well as critical workers, as we have done throughout the pandemic when it comes to vaccines, boosters, testing and other infection control measures such as personal protective equipment." Moreover, industry representatives said a lack of tests in England could mean the efforts of restaurants, clubs to host New Year's Eve celebrations are in vain.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is the teacher. A radio documentary on the life of prominent martyrs of Islam.
همه مردم عزادارن، یعنی احساس عزاداری میکنن. بدونید که قدر
All of the people are bereaved and grateful to your father, and this gratitude is due to the outstanding sincerity.
If Allah allows my blood to be shed, I am gladly willing to give my life up for him.
The blood of martyrs keeps this heart beating and keeps the way of Imam al-Hussein alive forever. The enemy must realize that nothing can stop us.
Today's a special story, the life and character of Shahid General Haj Qasim Soleimani. Dear listeners, just recently, the great military commander of Islamic forces, the legendary Haj Qasim Soleimani, was cowardly assassinated by the U.S. armed forces in Iraq. This great man was a living legend and was extremely popular not only in his home country, but all over the region of West Asia. He was liked by all freedom fighters of the region for his outstanding leadership and intellect. General Qasim Soleimani was able to completely get rid of ISIS in Iraq thanks to the special and effective measures he took. One of the best things that happened under his leadership was the formation of the Iraqi Popular Armed Forces and Militia, known by their Arabic name Al-Hashdu Sha'bi, which literally translates as People's Mobilization Committee. Together with Haj Qasim Soleimani, this popular armed group was able to defeat ISIS. As you know, ISIS is a Salafi group that emerged after the fall of Saddam in Iraq. General Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani and the Quds forces under his command began fighting this group and became victorious after years of battle.
Thank you.
This is the voice of Ayatollah Khamenei in the house of Shahid Qasem Soleimani.
همه مردم عزادارن، یعنی احساس عزاداری میکنن. بدونید که قدر
All of the people are bereaved and grateful to your father, and this gratitude is due to the outstanding sincerity which existed in him, because the hearts are in the hands of God. Without sincerity, the people's hearts wouldn't have recognized him in this way. May Allah bestow His blessings on all of us and all the Iranian nation. Today you saw how the people in different cities of the country came to the streets in great numbers and with exceptional devotion. You will also see His funeral with great numbers. These blessings are before our eyes, so we understand the value of martyrdom. What a blessing for Hajj Qasim, who achieved his dream. He cherished martyrdom, shed tears for it, and mourned for his martyred friends.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Teacher. Two of the most important armed divisions under the leadership of Shahid Qasem Soleimani are the Fatimiyun Division, who are Pakistani militants, and Zainabiyun, who are Afghan militants. They're currently fighting the Takfiri elements in Syria. They're called the Defenders of the Shrine. They get their name from the holy shrine of Lady Zainab that they're guarding in Damascus, Syria. Until now, thanks to the measures that were taken by the commander, Shahid Hajj Qasem Soleimani, the terrorist groups in Syria have been unable to execute the plan of their Western masters of toppling the pro-resistance government of Syria. As for ISIS, in the year 2014, ISIS captured the strategic city of Mosul, and the Iraqi capital Baghdad was on the verge of collapse. However, thanks to the prudence of the great martyr of Islam, Shahid General Hajj Qasem Soleimani, along with the forces of Al-Hashd al-Sha'bi of Iraq, the forces of Islam were able to expel ISIS from Iraq. The prime minister of that time, Haydar al-Abadi, named Shahid Qasem Soleimani as one of the most primary allies of Iraq in their battle against ISIS. This is the voice of Shahid Qasem Soleimani, along with the English translation of his words.
Steps are flowing towards Allah. Surely we belong to Allah, and surely we return towards Him. What is better for a person than to choose a great death? a voluntary one, by his own will.
گرچه ریزد خون من آن دوست رو پای کوبان جان برافشانم برو.
If Allah allows my blood to be shed, I am gladly willing to give my life up for him. The brave men dance and parade courageously upon the spiritual battlefield. Brave men are the ones who dance upon their own blood. Since they are freed from the self, they clap the hands. Because they escape from their own flaws, they make a dance.
تو مکن تهدیدم از کشتن که من تشنه زارم به خون خیشتن تشنه زارم به خون خیشتن گر بریزد خون من آن دوش رو پای کوبان جان برافشانم
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to the program, The Teacher. As everyone knows by now, the most influential figure who foiled the plots of the West and Zionists in West Asia, which they call the Middle East, is the legendary former commander of the Quds Force of IRGC, Shahid General Haj Qasem Soleimani. America had spent and probably is still spending billions of dollars, rather trillions of dollars, on bolstering and arming ISIS. Yet, Qasem Soleimani and the forces under his command were able to defeat them all with less than half of the money spent by America and the West. Of course, it is God who is helping them. Allah has said in the Quran that whoever helps his cause, He will definitely help them and grant them a decisive victory. On November 21st, 2017, Haj Qasem Soleimani wrote a letter to the great leader of the Islamic Revolution, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, and announced the end of Daesh and their domination in the region. He also informed him of the hoisting of the flag of Syria in Albu Kamal, one of the cities in Syria bordering Iraq. Shahid General Haj Qasem Soleimani had also shown formidable presence in rocket and missile operations against the cancerous tumor of the region, the apartheid terrorist Zionist regime of Israel. General Haj Qasem Soleimani was martyred on January 3, 2020. He achieved his dream of martyrdom, which he awaited for decades. May Allah bless him and further elevate his high ranks. Now we invite you to listen to Sister Zainab talking about Shahid General Qasem Soleimani.
Qasem Soleimani, one of the greatest and bravest generals of the Iranian army, joined his martyred friends after a terrorist attack on Friday, January 3, 2020. The enemy must know that we are a nation that is not frightened with blood and killing. Our children are born and raised with the love of martyrdom. We are not afraid of sacrificing our lives in the way of Allah. Just as our great leader, Imam Khomeini, may Allah bless his soul, said, "We are the children of Muharram." We were raised with the stories of real heroes such as Imam al-Hussein, Hazrat Abbas, and Lady Zainab. What is the enemy scaring us of? Death for us is sweeter than honey, just like Qasim, the son of Imam al-Hasan, said. Even if they cut us into pieces, just like Hazrat Abbas, just like Ali Akbar, just like Qasim Soleimani, they will never be able to take away our faith and our power. The blood of martyrs keeps this heart beating and keeps the way of Imam al-Hussein alive forever. The enemy must realize that nothing can stop us. The more they kill from us, the more awake our nation will become, and we will make ourselves ready to take revenge. Inshallah, God willing, the decline of the enemies of Islam is very close, and the uprising of our awaited 12th Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, is near. May we also give our lives in the way of our Imam and in the way of Islam.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of The Teacher, which was about the great martyr of Islam, Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani. Please don't forget to log on to our website, which is www.parstoday.com. And if you have any questions or suggestions, send an email to englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, we leave you in Allah's care.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters. 11,880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bad 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.com/en. And now, you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.